The word today is sin. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Of all the words in the English language, sin is probably the saddest. In fact, almost everything negative and troubling in this world begins with someone's sin. Here from our archives, to lead us in a review of this sad subject, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Sin.
I, of course, have a great interest in words, especially in the English language. My entire life seems to evolve around words. For one thing, I'm an author. I've published 5 books, and you have to learn to put words together in a sentence and kind of string sentences together in paragraphs in order to make a understandable volume to read. And so words are an important part. And then, of course, this program, as you can tell, emphasizes words, the word today. It kind of has a double meaning in the sense that many people refer to the Holy Scripture as the Word of God, which is a proper name. And so in our title, The Word Today, we are emphasizing that each day when we broadcast, we want to emphasize the Word of God. But in addition to that, we also use individual words. We try to take individual words from the English language and use them in a way that will apply God's word to their lives. And so it has kind of a double meaning. So it's not too surprising, I suppose, that I would start to wonder about some of the individual words that we focus on in our vocabulary and in our communication. Now, if you try to pick a sad word, let's say that in the English language, you were given an assignment and you were supposed to pick the worst word or the most negative word or the saddest word, what do you suppose it would be? Now, I'm sure there are a variety of answers to that question. You could come up with the word death. Boy, does that ever conjure up all kinds of negative thoughts. You know, you could be talking about someone losing a loved one, someone losing a marriage partner, someone losing a child. You know, there's just all kinds of negative implications that that word death could have. Maybe you could use the word bad. Well, the word bad automatically signals something negative, and you could come up with all kind of ideas about that. Maybe some people would say darkness. Or maybe some people would say the word no. When you get the word no, what a negative reaction is that? Someone tells you no. Someone says, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want the present you're offering me, and so on. Well, there, I suppose we could spend quite a number of minutes coming up with some words like that. But I've taken a look at a variety of words, and I've come up with what I feel is the worst word in the English language. I believe it's the word sin, S-I-N, sin. Everything that I know of, including death, including misery, including trouble, including alienation from God, including almost everything you can think of negatively, begins with the word sin. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Bible, in the beginning, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, by the time you get to the 4th chapter, you already see sin in a way that's ready to pounce on somebody. In this case, it was Cain. In fact, if you look at the 7th verse of Genesis 4, you will see that it refers to sin as kind of lying in wait, as though it's just waiting to corrupt something and to tear things apart. You know, this is the section where it tells us about Cain and Abel. You remember that they both brought sacrifices to God. One was acceptable and the other was not. Well, the reason it was not acceptable was that the heart of Cain had already started to turn evil. Sin had already entered in. As a matter of fact, It was a specific type of sin. It would be what we call today jealousy, or we would probably refer to it as envy or hatred. This began bubbling up within Cain, and finally he kills his brother. He murders Abel. Well, you can see how that word kind of triggers everything and how when it's played out to the very end, it results in a murder. Now, as long as we're in the Old Testament here, let's take just a minute to look at one of the dominant figures in the Old Testament. You, of course, know the name Saul, the first king of Israel, Saul. He was a fantastic guy. He was a brilliant guy. He was a leader. And yet, sin enters in and utterly destroys Saul. As a matter of fact, you know, Saul got to the point where he was trying to kill his son. And, of course, his son's best friend, David, you can remember how jealousy just ate him up. Jealousy. That's a terrible form of sin, by the way. Jealousy can eat up a person from the inside out. You know, it doesn't hurt the person you're jealous of. It just eats away at you because of your jealousy inside of you. It turns to evil thinking. It turns to all kinds of evil. As a matter of fact, if you go through the life of Saul and follow it, at one point he goes to see a witch, and he hopes that this witch will call up Samuel and give him some advice and some help. You know, it's just utterly disastrous when sin enters into your life and begins to run rampant. Now, there's sin in the life of every human being. We know that. There isn't a perfect person on the face of this earth. The only person perfect was Jesus Christ, the God-man born of the Virgin Mary. Besides that, every other person born in the human race has sin. And that sin can be very destructive and harmful. It causes all of our problems and all of our difficulties. The only hope is if you can deal with that sin through a Savior, Jesus Christ, who forgives your sin and who empowers you by the power of the Holy Spirit living within you to fight against sin. And so our attitude towards sin is to be one of resistance, one of fighting against it, one of trying to improve in our obedience to the Word of God. But let's deal some more with this concept of sin and see how destructive it is, unless it is repented of and forgiven. If sin is left to keep going, it'll grow. It mushrooms. It enlarges. It becomes more and more dominant in our lives. Take a case, for instance, again in the Old Testament. Take David. Do you remember David? Actually, he was doing fairly well. He was loved by God. He was king of Israel. And you remember, he was doing okay. And then one day, he, in the evening time, is outside on his porch, and he's looking around, and he sees the wife of another one of his leaders in the government, and he lusts after her. Now, that's the beginning of sin in this particular episode, and the sin is not curbed. It is not repented of. It is allowed to continue to grow, and it grows and grows. Finally, it leads David to decide to murder the husband of this woman so that he can move in and take her for himself, and so it leads him to murder. Now, this is the same David that earlier, when he was younger, God had used to kill Goliath. You remember this blaspheming giant, the enemy of the Israelites, and how God used little tiny David to go against Goliath. And because he was going in the name of God and under God's will, he succeeded in killing Goliath. Now, this is the same David that sin enters into and corrupts him and leads him to his downfall. As a matter of fact, at one point when David finally repents, probably about a year later, he is telling us in his Psalms how his sin is ever before him, how it is troubling him in his heart, how he is weeping. He refers to weeping, he said his bed is as if it were floating on the water caused by his tears. He's using a metaphor here, but he's explaining how his sin is such a burden, an enormous problem. Now, in the New Testament, we say this same evil word, sin, in the case of Peter, for instance. Peter, you recall, this was the man that was given the new name. Simon was his name. He was called Peter, meaning rock. He was one of the leaders of the New Testament church. Just think of that. In fact, Peter was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was one of the disciples that had the privilege of seeing Jesus in his deity, all revealed to them. You know, and yet Peter, we see how sin entered into him at the time that Jesus was on trial. And at the time when Peter, because of his sinful fear that he was going to be maybe captured or maybe killed also, he denies Jesus. He says, "I never knew him." My goodness, what sin can do to strong, powerful men. It can totally destroy them. Now, if you want to see what sin in all of its ugliness does, take a look at Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who came to this earth in order to die for us. Sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Our sin, your sin, my sin, any sin, Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's the destruction and the total horribleness of sin. So when you think of negative words and bad words, I think sin is right in the forefront. I hope you will repent of your sin. I hope you will ask God's strength to send his Holy Spirit into your life to fight against sin, to war against sin. Don't let sin dominate you. Don't let Satan live in your heart and life and destroy you. Let Jesus Christ come into your life and let him rule and sit on the throne of your heart and resist sin. And with God's power, fight against sin so that sin will not destroy your life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.